Welcome to Bounce Back. My name's Yvonne Fletcher from NY Events, and you're listening in on DRN1. Bounce Back is a fun talkback show where I get to speak to some funny people, both locally and internationally. And today we have Tarbo, Bruno, and Tyrone. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you all for coming in. You guys are doing a fringe show coming up together. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Who wants to take it away?
So basically, we've all been doing stand-up for a little bit of a while now. And, you know, we all have like a similar sensibility, I'd say, boys.
Similar sensibility, like
a similar sense of humor.
I'd say so. We all have a common denominator, if that makes sense. I don't even know if that's even in context of what you're talking about, but I feel like we are all very similar.
Yeah, like we cherish you know, forms of humor that are you know, like
incorrect
and the things that you're not supposed to say in polite company, but we find it funny.
We talk some wild shit. That's pretty much what we do. And the thing is, like, we have different styles. Like, we complement each other. Mm-hmm. But pretty much our humour is very personal. And for all of us, really, isn't it?
It's not too personal where it gets weird. Because, like, sometimes some people like to personalise a lot of their stand-up. And it can get weird where it's just like we're too into your life type of thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like we keep it lighthearted. And we still say what everyone's thinking type of thing.
Yeah, it's not serious. Yeah. It's all lighthearted and it draws from our own personal experience.
Yeah.
And we just got different styles. Like, I'm more of a joke kind of guy. Tubbo does stories. And Bruno is very observational. Is that
I thought I'd do stories even though it's still observational type of thing.
Yeah.
I'm not really a one-liner dude type of thing, you know what I mean?
Bruno hates one-liners.
I hate one-liners and puns. And the awkward part is I have some good friends in comedy that only have one-liners.
Yeah.
And every time they get on stage, I'm just like angry listening to their set. And I want to smile, but I just can't. You know what I mean? It just does not sit well with me. It's just like,
and Bruno's one of those guys that it doesn't take much to rile him up. Like, you just say like the wrong pun and he's already going.
Like my eyes twitching, my veins popping out of my forehead.
Yeah, you see the vein in the forehead. You see him start to shake a little bit. You have to give him water.
Yeah, or coffee. Coffee, in a way, calms me down in a really weird way.
It is weird.
Yeah, I have a lot of coffee.
It's so weird. You're the only person at midnight drinking black coffee.
No, it's decaffeinated, man. So, I have decaffeinated coffee at night,
What's the point of drinking decaf coffee?
Honestly,
I like the taste of coffee.
Who likes the taste of coffee,
black coffee as well?
Me.
Just drink a water, man.
Fuck that.
It's going to dehydrate you anyway.
Wait, you're not supposed to swear on this podcast, bro.
I apologize. I didn't
know. They're going to cut all this out.
Bro, I figured I'm going to be cut anyway. So I figured just go hard.
Physically, right after the show.
Yeah, no, I don't even look politically correct, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? So I just thought, fuck it.
Yeah, she has said that we're going to edit out all of Bruno's parts, you know, for the sake of this actually going to air. But, you know, that's fine.
Well, in that case, it will be the incorrect show starring Tyrone and Tarbo. That's what that will be.
And Brian.
Yeah, minus Brenner.
The ghost of Bruno's past.
Yeah. I love one-liners.
Oh.
Yeah, I hate them,
I love them. Good ones, though.
Yeah.
But ones that you never see coming. I like Anthony Jeselnik. I like how... Darky goes, I can't do dark humour. Like, I try and pull it off. Maybe because I'm not good enough, but I've tried.
Well, I'm glad you said that.
You have some dark. You have some good.
Oh, a little bit
dark.
I'm
going
heading
lines.
That way, but I think it's you have to have a real skill, like a grasp of this craft. You know what I mean? To pull off a dark joke,
right?
You know what I mean,
like. I can't help but feel. I remember I seen you doing what's called on Sunday. What's that gig called?
Fresh Jokers.
Yes. And it was in Frio, and your set was just completely dark, and I was just like, I figure I got a glimpse at the real Tyrone. Like, you know what I mean? I like, man, that is the Tyrone that wants to be on stage saying that stuff. You know what I mean? And
it gets a bit wild. Like, at Fresh Jokers, I was trying some stuff out.
How'd that go?
Yeah, I was trying some stuff out, and it got a bit wild.
I enjoyed it. I actually genuinely enjoyed it. I'm not into dark humor, but knowing you, and even though I felt like I saw a glimpse of the real him, it was actually satisfying to hear.
Yeah, there's a pit in Tyrone's soul that...
That's
like,
what I mean, yeah.
Once you, you'll see a certain look in his eye and you go, this guy's teetering.
Yeah. He's, he's a dark dude.
This is a dark dude. This guy has a lot of anger inside him.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking, yo.
Hey, guys, tell me something. Hey, I know I realize you all met through comedy, but how did you actually meet?
Me and Bruno used to work FIFO, and he was a scaffolder. I used to work with cranes.
No, you were rigging then. No, I was rigging. Don't try to up
That's
your
what
job
rigging
now.
Does,
like, no, don't up
but
your job
don't
now.
Know what rigging means, though.
Yeah, well, explain to them.
Working with cranes. I'm like, well, rigger works with the working with cranes.
All right, let me simplify for the. Let me cut you off there. I'm sorry. I have to cut you off there. I'm sorry.
All right, go ahead.
What Tyrone's job was is that he was dealing with chains that lifted stuff for the crane. Lifting stuff for the crane, like stillages. Yeah. Like, I know people know what a stillage is, but it's like a little metal thing that holds scaffold components.
Yeah.
He lifted little shitty jobs like that for a few years before he moved on to bigger objects. But for a long time, he did small objects. So he's trying to act like he dealt with cranes and you were technical. No, you weren't, bro.
Also known as working with cranes.
But you work with chains.
Tarbo, are you going to be emceeing your fringe gig? I'm just wondering because you're going to have to rein these two in.
Yeah, I know.
We'll do butt heads.
You know what's the funny? The best thing about this feels like the classic Australian romance. Like, he was a crane operator and was a rigger. I saw him hanging over a 10-foot beam. I said, I think that's him. I think that's the one. And then John Farnham plays in the background.
And then there's us just fighting.
Yeah. Fighting VP. And making sweet, sweet love.
All right. Well, look, to cut it short, we did used to work together, but not in each other's crew. I was doing scaffolding and he was working with chains.
Okay.
And then.
What are the chains connected to, Bruno?
Sorry?
What are the chains connected to?
They're connected to the crane. But let's not get into it too much. All right. Let's just move on to the next subject. Right, okay. But that's how
we meet Tarbo then.
Through the comedy scene.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm actually quite new to the Perth comedy scene. I've only been here since, 2019?
Wow, you are very new to
it. Yeah, so I'm like, kind of like a junior in the Perth comedy scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I saw, what was out there. I'm like, I can do better than this.
And what do you mean by this? That was Tyrone's act. He's seen Tyrone's act, and then mine was like, yeah, I can do better than these idiots. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, this doesn't look so hard. And then, so I decided to, I always, I sort of watched the scene from afar before actually stepping up to do gigs, and I always liked both their humor. So, yeah, that was sort of like how we connected up.
Yeah. Okay, so you're very fresh. That's 1 year into comedy.
No, so I've actually...
Yeah, you got to break that down, man.
I've been doing comedy for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually started in 2011.
Ah,
yes.
Okay.
And then I took a sabbatical.
Yes.
Yeah. What's a sabbatical?
I quit.
Like a break,
Oh, right.
Yeah, I took a
that
break.
That is such a nice way of saying you quit something.
Yeah.
Like it's a journey.
Yeah. This is how fancy people quit.
I'm on a journey to quitting.
Yeah. I'm on a sabbatical. Yeah, so that's great. Yeah, I took a sabbatical, and then from 2011, I stopped, and then I started up again in 2015.
Yeah,
in Queensland. So I lived in a small town in Queensland called Rockhampton. Rocky represent. If any Rockhamptonites are listening.
That was so irrelevant, but anyway.
Yeah, put the crack pipe down and listen to this. North Rockhampton, you guys should know this, was actually voted the meth capital of the world.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's not exactly something to be proud of, man.
This is something that I've heard. Every city in Australia has like a shitty neighborhood that they designate the meth capital of the world.
Yeah.
And I think...
I know about the world, maybe Australia, but...
Australia, yeah.
I think, North Rockhampton, like, it has one of the highest rates of True. You know, methamphetamine use.
That's wow. crazy.
Yeah. And so, you know, making, you know, meth heads laugh is... It's more complicated than it sounds.
Yeah, well, oh, really? It would be because they're quite aggro.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You have to say the wrong. You just have to look the wrong way, like a cop.
Yeah.
And yeah, shit starts flying. I've had a knife pulled on me at a gig before.
No, wow. Really?
I have. No joke. True story.
What, in oh, Rockhampton?
In Rockhampton, yeah.
How did you manage that one?
So I was doing a gig, and this guy, his girlfriend was a vegan, and I made a very. Thank you. I made Sorry. A very easy joke about how, like, I asked whether or not during the act of cunnilingus, she tasted different to a woman who, yeah, to a non-vegan. And this guy took offense to that. And, yeah, he, like, after the gig, I was just standing outside and he comes up to me. And, yeah, he just, the way he did it was, like, he's sort of, like, talking to me, like, hey, man, yeah, so, nah, that joke was pretty funny, but you got to be careful who you're saying it to. You know, you could be saying it to a fella like me, you know, like, I could be a crazy, but, you know, I could have a knife in me, like, this knife, and then he pulls out the knife. So I'm like, oh are God. You, yeah, are you, is this That's a different. Threat? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but he was just sort of, like, trying to shut me down, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
So just for you to know, apparently sweeter, okay?
Is it sweeter?
Oh, wow.
Oh, come on.
Vegans, boy. Woo. That's a new thing.
All right.
There you go. Gonna now your curiosity is being satisfied.
Tell the missus to switch up her diet.
Marino, what about yourself? How long have you been doing comedy for?
I've been doing comedy, to be honest, I don't know if it's 2016 or 17.
Yeah.
One of those years. Around four years, I'd say.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 3-4 years. I don't even know, to be honest. All I know is just, yeah, 16, 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. And you started in Perth?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Yep. On my second gig, actually, there was a fight in the crowd. And
what is with you guys?
No, I don't know. Like, we're just attracting these thugs to these gigs. You know what I'm saying?
I think once people take a look at the picture of us, they get it all. The dots will connect. Like,
it's all on, right?
We don't look like anybody you want your daughter to bring.
hence the name, though. Incorrection.
Incorrection. You know that's what. Like, that's what's up. That's
there's
what's
nothing
up.
Correct in this. No, it was weird. It was like my second gig. And there was some drunk guy that was actually very witty.
Yeah.
And he was heckling all the acts. And I was on like fourth or fifth of the first bracket.
Mm.
And this guy, every time, because it's open mic and there's a lot of like amateur comics, me being one of them, you know what I mean? And the people that were trying to shut him down, he was just way too witty. And he actually run rings around the comics and he was making the crowd laugh more than the comedian, which was embarrassing as a comedian, you know what I mean? And
were there any pros on the show?
No, there wasn't. It was just a very amateur night type of thing. But then I just kept ignoring him, like, when I went on. But then, like, Nick, like, you know, Nick Hunter, he actually tried to shut him down in a nice way. Like, sorry, mate, you got to keep it down. And then he just, like, switched up, went rowdy. And wow. It was, like, the room runner trying to calm down the heckler. And the heckler started throwing hands. And then another comedian jumped in to try to, like, subdue the guy. And he's an older dude, but he's, like, ex-military. So he's just, like, he would not refuse to go down.
Good
and he's,
Lord.
Like, kicking, screaming. He's got arms back of his legs. Like, arms behind him, kicking. And then even as he got pushed out the door, he kicked the window that, and it's like, it shattered. And then you even hear him outside, like, fuck yeah, motherfucker. Dad.
Oh my
and
God.
I'm still on stage.
So you're like, my dad's crazy.
Shut up, Dad. You're fucking up my set. Yeah, it was so weird, man. And it was just like, I didn't know what to do. And then they're looking at me like, are you
like
going to do
security
something?
Or something.
Yeah, because me being on stage, I look like I was doing security, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, this is weird.
I think there's a, you know, I've had to kick out ex-military guy recently. It's quite interesting that it was an older guy too.
Mm.
And I kind of knew that if I approached him, he was going to be polite and subdued with me. And he was. He was beautiful. He listened to me. He
respectful.
Said, very respectful. Yep. He said, in 50 years, I've never been kicked out of a venue. And I said, okay. I said, well, you enjoy your night. And he goes, can I kiss your hand? I said, if you must.
Oh, wow. That's
and he said,
gentlemen, God, getting kicked out made him chivalrous.
Yeah, very. Like, it was amazing.
3 seconds before, and then Yvonne comes
Hello,
up.
Hello, my lady.
Hello, my lady. I see your points. I shall vacate the premises.
It was seriously amazing because he basically said, you know, I'm getting kicked out by a beautiful woman. I went, that's really nice, right? Wow. So he left really nicely and, yeah, no drama.
That's
so no
awesome.
Kicking, screaming, glasses broken.
Or maybe because this guy looked like an ugly version of Jason Statham. Maybe that's why he like just got rolled up, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
My girlfriend used to work in a bar, and she used to say, like, if the venue manager was a male, especially a big one, guys would want to start on him.
Yeah.
And if it was a female manager, they'd be kind of a bit more chill.
Yeah, they'd chill.
And
yeah.
they'd be like,
especially attractive. Attractive.
Yeah, they're like, I'm not going to fight.
Be soft sometimes.
Yeah. So sometimes, like, she was saying there's less fights when there was a female venue manager.
Yeah. So I think the stance in any venue used to be let more girls in than guys as well, because it kind of brings it down a little bit. And
Yeah, you don't want to go anywhere with heaps of dudes anyway.
No. Tyrone, what about yourself? Where did you start?
I started 2019. I think it was 19th of April. And I did that Lazy Susan's stand-up thing.
Yeah, it was great there.
And that was fun. And basically, like, I was like, I always liked stand up. Like, I liked Eddie Murphy. I watched that when I was like 15.
Yeah, same. Yeah, that's hilarious.
And I loved it, man. And I never thought I could be good enough to do it. Like, funny enough to do it.
Yeah.
And then I tried. I thought, like, I got to the age, I was just bored. Like, I was bored, man.
At least you're honest about it. Yeah.
Like, I would get home and watch TV or whatever, and that was my day. Like, I work 10-hour day, and then you go home, and then you just watch TV, eat dinner, and go to bed, and then you repeat it.
For ages.
And then also, like, your social, like, in Australia, your social interactions is basically go out drinking. You know what I mean? You have dinner and you drink, and I'm like, well, maybe I need a hobby or something.
And that's how it came about.
You know what I mean? And then I was like, so I tried it. So I did the course, and I thought, I'll just give it a go, because if I'm crap, I just won't do it. And then I was crap, and I just kept on doing it.
You refused to give up.
But the thing is, like, I did it, and it was fun, and it was, like, the highlight of my week. And, like, I don't think that any course will make you good at stand-up, but it will, like, show you, like, the etiquette, point you in the right direction. You can make, like, you make friends. So when you go to an open mic, like, you got, like, some support there. And also, like, I don't even know that's how it works. You go to open mics. I had no idea. Like, if I wanted to do stand-up, I'd actually be clueless to where to start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 100%. That was, like, good for me. And also, like, when you get on stage, like, it's one of the most stressed out I've ever been ever before I go on stage that first time. But when one joke hits, you're pretty much hooked.
Yeah.
Like, I was hooked from then on. And then, other than, you know, my girlfriend and my family, it's like the first thing I think of when I go to bed and I wake up in the morning.
Oh, that's great.
Which is weird because you have children.
Daddy, we need food. How does this joke go?
Oh, that's good.
Sorry, if you don't mind me asking.
No, go.
What was your one joke that, like, what was the joke that first worked for you? Like, that you wrote.
Shit.
I'll tell you my very first joke I've ever written. And it basically goes, all right, so Australia's going through a tough time right now with droughts. Droughts are terrible. I haven't had sex in ages. That was it.
That was a very good pity laugh.
And I like that. That was Tyrone King, ladies and gentlemen.
Come to the incorrect stand-up show.
Yeah, come to the incorrect stand-up show for that level. Nah, I can't talk shit.
No.
That joke is infinitely better.
Thabo, we're nearly going to lose you. So the audience knows, Thabo is running off to be an MC at the moment. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions directed just for you, and then I'll hone in on the rest of the guys.
All right, hit me.
All right, keep so social sweet. Media, where can people find you?
All right, so you can find me on Facebook, Thabo Chuma, comedian. Thank you. You can find me on Instagram, Thabo the Genius, T-H-A-B-O-T-H-E-G-E-N.
He can spell, ladies and gentlemen. Good idea, Tabo. You can spell.
I did it.
That's a lot easier for a genius.
I know.
Yeah, no shit.
All right, and Tabo.
And Tabo 1K on Twitter.
Okay, and can you leave us with a joke? Is that okay?
Okay, yeah. I'll tell you my favorite joke. It's not my joke, but it's my favorite joke. It's a Jewish joke.
Yeah.
For some reason, I love Jewish jokes. I don't know why, but...
say the joke.
So the joke is... So there's an old Jewish man on his deathbed, right? And he's surrounded by all his family. And he's surrounded by his children. And he goes to his first child, he goes, Sally, where's my Sally? And then Sally goes, I'm here, Papa. And then she goes, and where is my middle child, Thomas? Where is Thomas? And Thomas says, I'm here, Papa. And where is my youngest, Jonathan? And Jonathan says, I'm here, Papa. And then he goes, well, who's watching the store? Thank you. That's my favorite joke.
There's a little pity laughs coming from the host here.
No, come on, that's a funny joke.
A little pity laughs.
That's a funny joke. That's a legit laugh.
I'm not good at pity laughing.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. So we'll continue on with Bruno and Tyrone. Thank you so much.
No, thank
it's so
you.
Good to see you.
I'm out of here. Thank you very much. Right. Incorrect show. Come see us.
Don't ever say that joke again there, Tabo. Ever.
All right, so guys, I'm going to ask you as well. What was your biggest learning curve or bomb on stage?
Okay, do you want to know the biggest bomb?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, it was actually at the, like, me, like, my background's Portuguese, right? And there was this Portuguese family friend of ours that, like, used to come to my parents' house a lot, and he was organizing an event at the Portuguese club, and the Portuguese club can hold a lot of people, up to like 500 people. He was organizing like a music event type of thing, and he was like, hey, let's do some jokes, you know, like you come down and then you do like 20 minutes, I'll pay you. And I was like, okay, cool, like sounds good. And it was in front of so many people I know, and it just walking past them, there was almost around 500 people, and it was like 500 Portuguese people in this one place, and me walking through, it would just freak me out. Because everywhere I look, I'm like, there's my mum's friends, there's my auntie's friends, there's my cousins, there's my third cousins, there's my fourth cousins. Like, I'm just freaking out with all these people. And I go on stage, and I was meant to do like 20 minutes, and you can still hear plates going off, and just the setup was weird. Like, when I went there for the mic check, what do you call it? The pre-show.
Sound check,
yeah. When I went there for sound check, I was like, oh, surely they're not going to have these microphone stands here when I go on stage. The sound check looked exactly the same as it did when they presented the show. And they even got my name wrong. And I'm Portuguese, and I thought they had their shit together. But they're like, oh, hey, welcome to stage, Bruno Moreira. And I was like, who's that? And the guy was like, that's you. He told me to go on stage. Who the fuck's Moreira? And he's like, that's you. And I was like, it's Oliveira, man. How'd you fuck this up? And he's like, just get on stage. And I got on stage, and I was meant to do 20 minutes. And I did like 3 minutes.
Wow.
And everybody was staring at me like, what is this? Like, no one knew what was going on. You know what I mean? And like, the way the stage was set up wasn't in comedy context type of thing. Yeah. And the lights were still on. It just looked like some dude was talking on stage. Like, there was no laughs there. I'd rather hear a laughing soundtrack that will play, at least to give me some, like, some boost type of thing. And yeah, I died for like 3 minutes, and I was like, man, fuck this and fuck yous. And I just left. And I bombed that bad, I went to the toilet, and I just had my head in my lap for like 20 minutes. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing to myself? You're not funny, you suck. All those thoughts crept in my mind.
Oh no.
I didn't even go out the main entrance. I went out the side gate, and I think the alarm went off, but I didn't give a shit at that point.
Oh, Bruno, you poor thing.
Went out the side gate, and I was even like creeping. I didn't want no one to see me, and I was like creeping behind the cars. And even where my car was, where I parked my car, like, if I had to exit, then they'll have to see me to exit.
Yeah.
And I was that ashamed of my performance that I just jumped the fence and I just started running to my car and I just went home. I went to bed and it was like 7:30. Like, you know,
Traumatized. I was traumatized. That blanket, right?
And the worst part is, my brother was there and he was trying. His logic was like, he seen me bombing and he felt that bad where he was looking at me. He was like, "Hey, went, look, he's bald." Like, trying to get the crowd into it. But that freaked me out even more. So him heckling me just threw me off. I'm like, fuck. Like, even my brother's heckling me. Like, I was just thrown off completely. And I was like, why? Like, you're not funny. You suck. Not even like the next day, I was like, man, fuck comedy. Like, I want nothing to do with it.
How did you recover from that?
I didn't even think I still have, type of thing. I just kept rolling with the punches.
Last Saturday you recovered.
Oh, you reckon?
Yeah, because all your family was there.
Yeah, but not 500 of them.
Not 500.
I think if I see 500 of them again, it might traumatize me. Yeah, but it was a tough week.
Yeah,
but I eventually, like, you know, got back on. It didn't. It traumatized me for that one moment, and that it was the worst night I've ever had. But that week I did eventually, but I'm like, come on, like, let's, like, I don't want to end it like this.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want this to be the last time I ever got on stage. So I'm like, nah, if I do stop, I want to end it with a bang. And then I ended with a bang and I was like, let's not end it, let's keep going.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was,
oh, well done. At least, yeah, you, that's, at least you got back up, right?
Yeah, I know, yeah, yeah. It was tough. But I'm here, ladies and gentlemen.
500 people.
Yeah.
In silence, jeez.
And Portuguese
as well.
And so it wasn't like it was strangers. Yeah. These people are my people.
Yeah.
And even they and they refuse to acknowledge me now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know that guy.
Do they just turn the other way when they see you now?
Oh man,
stink from the bomb.
Man, dude, what's crazy? Like, no shit. Like, I looked at my dad in the audience, and he was near the front.
Yeah.
I looked at my dad, and as I looked at him, he looked at me and then looked away.
Oh, no.
It's not his fault. I actually generally, I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
I
wish I was there, man. That would have been the best night of my life, I think.
My mum was recording. My mum was recording.
I was there watching you bomb in front of 500 people. And then get shunned by your family.
My mum was recording, right? And as I was on stage, and as we got to 1 minute, to two, as it just kept going worse, my mum had the phone up, and as it was getting worse, she just lowered the phone down and down to the point where she just put it in her purse.
Oh, it'll be funny if your parents just left just then.
Fuck, man. I'm surprised they didn't. I'm surprised that they stayed and for the whole night. You know,
just
kind of
walked backwards towards their car. Really slowly. And then closed the door and was like, they just drive off, hey.
Yeah, they see me walking past, like, don't look, he's there. Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised your mum didn't, you know, do the IKEA ad with your dad. Get the car.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Flora.
I know, right? Far out. You got a point, Mum. Fair enough.
Well done on coming back, but it's hard after you've had a fall.
That's tough, man. Because 500 people, you'd be like, "Yeah, I'm gonna kill this."
Yeah, I definitely killed the vibe.
You're like, 500 people, I'm gonna kill this, and then like nothing.
Nah, man. Yeah,
that's epic, bro. I don't think I've ever had a bomb that epic. I went to, probably my worst one is when I went to the Vic Park Street Festival.
Oh, yeah.
And I got a text to come do the show, and I was like, oh, hell yeah, this is going to be a cool, it's going to be like a pub in the festival, be part of the festival, be nice and cool and everything. But when we got there, it was in the middle of the street.
Nice.
And it was to like 5-year-old kids.
No.
And all my material's filthy.
Did anyone not give you a brief? Like,
no.
No, they don't.
No, they said, come down, I've got a gig for you at the Vic Park Festival. I'm like, hell yeah. This is going to be a sweet gig.
Okay, I would be giving you a brief.
Yeah, and then I...
But you're smart. Like,
yeah.
Not a lot of these room runners are smart.
Yeah. And then my friends were there. Like, haven't seen me do comedy before. They were just at the Vic Park Festival enjoying and having a good time.
Yeah.
And then I caught up with them and they came and saw me and like... I was like, yeah, I'm going to be performing at the festival. And then, like, I'm going to be performing at the festival. I texted them. And when I got there and I realized what it was, and then I saw them walking towards me, I'm like, fuck.
Should have cancelled.
Oh, it was brutal, man. It was so brutal. And just to see their faces, man, because like they were kind of expecting me to do half well, but I just did so badly because I'm just reaching for jokes. And then you just see their smiles just go to frowns, hey, and then just like, I feel like they lost respect for you.
Karen, you've got children, you said.
No, Bruno's the Tubbo's a liar. Okay, I don't have kids.
Yeah, more PG your content than knowing that there was little kids around, or how did you manage that?
I had some dumb jokes that I threw out there, and then the person hosting it just, because we were swapping in between comedians.
Yeah.
He got rid of me pretty quick. When I did, like, right now I was reaching. I did some stupid joke about how you can, there's a mullet festival now. You can go to the mullet festival.
Oh, that's
also
dope.
Also known as Centrelink.
That's not bad.
That was my dumb joke I had. Yeah. And then, like, dumb jokes like that, like little jokes that weren't filthy, I could do for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and then it was get out, and then the next one in, and I was like, fuck, thank God.
Yeah,
that was probably the most brutal. There was another time when I did stand up within like my first 3 months or whatever, and some lady, it was heckling everyone, and then she just called me a loser, and I didn't know how to handle it, and I was like, kind of like, okay. I just destroyed all my confidence, and like the rest of my set just went terrible, because yeah, when people can see that you're desperate and
crumbling,
yeah, then it's like they switch
that's
off.
No, but that's when they attack. They either attack or you can see the respect that they lose for you.
Yeah,
type of thing. They're like, oh, let's give him attention because he sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Like another.
I mean, but people feel, you know how as humans we're up and down anyway. Yeah. So if you're on a bit of a down and someone hones in on that and they can see you crumbling, they're gonna.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, like the wolf.
Yeah,
the
smell
crowd.
Blood.
Yeah, like they smell blood, and they either attack or they just like look at you with pity.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they're like, "How dare you think you can tell jokes?" You know what I mean? And it's like, but now I think I can handle it better now because all that stuff and all the crowd work, all handling hecklers and stuff. That's all stage time.
Yeah,
that's really what it is. And I handle it a lot better now. I used to like. One time I would get super aggressive, but it doesn't help your performance. It doesn't, and then it turns the crowd off.
Yeah.
Like if someone's heckling you and you say, "Shut up, dickhead," in an angry tone, it kind of turns the crowd.
Yeah, you got to get their trust back, don't you?
Yeah, it turns the crowd against you, and it's like now I just handle hecklers like they're my children, if I had children.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I try and make it fun.
Yeah.
And I try and, you know, make it entertaining. And I don't try to be too harsh, but also try and say as well, look, you're kind of ruining the show by talking.
Yeah.
But I try to do it in a fun way. It doesn't always...
No, because you can't, like, I've seen Tyrone like, do it before, and usually, like, with hecklers, it can either go one way or the other real quick. And you can either take it as completely fun. Like, sometimes...
Yeah, that
like,
banter.
Yeah, and, like, sometimes... Like, if you hear a heckler, like, the worst type of heckler for me is when I don't know what you're saying and you're just so saying drunk. Noise. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah man, fucking oath. And then you just try to get back on to, like your set. But then, like, you get some where they'll just say something and then you acknowledge that they interrupted and then they go silent. And I'm just like, it fucked up the flow type of thing. And I'm just like, you piece of shit. But... You got to make it fun because if you don't, if you actually take it serious, like the crowd will sense it and they're like, oh, this guy's he's making it like because it's all banter.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's say like at the pub and like you're chilling.
Yeah.
And
it's
you're,
like you're losing control.
That's what I mean. Yeah. And if you're at the pub having a good time and you're laughing and like some random dude gives you shit because that happens all the time. Yeah. And people like when they get drunk, they get very, very confident, especially like me at the pub. Sometimes some random dude come and touch my beard. First thing I want to do is punch him out, but I can't do that. Like, you know what I mean? Is where like played off.
People
actually touch my beard, and I'm just like, legit. And part of me is just like, okay,
that's so weird.
I know,
it's gross. Look at his beard; it's disgusting. Why would you want to touch that?
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool, but would not go up to someone. I hug everyone, but as you guys seen, but I wouldn't randomly go up and start stroking your beard or.
You see what I'm saying?
Then
dudes do weird things like that. Like my whole point is, people at the pub, they get like that, and if you let if you show them that you're affected by it, oh, yeah, man, don't touch me, bro. They're like, come on, man, just having fun, bro. Like, what's wrong with you? And it's just like, oh, shit, I let him get to me. And then when people see, they're like, oh, this guy's a sensitive dude, can't take a joke. And people actually get put off by being around you type of thing.
Okay.
And I feel like it's the same context with like hecklers when you do stand-up, is where when someone's talking shit or whatever, you can't actually show everybody that, hey, guys, this is affecting the show. No, I don't appreciate you saying that.
Yeah.
These guys came here to pay money and you're here interrupting it. People just like, look at this loser.
Yeah.
You know, so if you play it off like it's all fun and games and make them look stupid in the end in a fun way, they actually go back, they actually stop and actually laugh at what you say to them type of thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you got to let it be fun. Has to be fun. Yeah.
It's definitely a skill, man, learning to deal with hecklers.
Yeah.
It's a skill.
Mm-hmm. And same thing with banter.
It takes time to get good at that skill.
Do you know what I've actually always seen that helps with that is improv comedy. If you can do improv really well, you can just, you know, banter and do really quick, you know, comebacks to people. So it just gets your brain thinking that way.
Yeah,
so
that's right. Yeah.
So, like, and then you can roast people back.
Yeah, you have to, yeah.
roasting is an art in itself. And like, I'm only got good, I only started getting okay at roasting for the past like year or so.
Yeah.
But I was always terrible.
Yeah.
I had nothing, like you say anything to me and for like 5 minutes I'd just be like, just got nothing for ages and I never had anything. But now at least I say something back and I'm starting to not take it so serious, because if you take it seriously, it just gets weird.
Yeah.
The whole vibe gets weird and you got to just keep it fun, even when it hurts.
Yeah. As soon as it affects you, you've lost.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if they can see it affected you,
they keep going.
Yeah. And you're stuffed for the rest of the night.
And
you know?
You're like, oh, you got me.
You motherfucker.
Hey, what's a common myth about being a comedian then?
What's a common myth is that you are always on, I guess, but...
Always what's funny.
Another, everyone said that one before.
They like have.
Yeah. What's another common myth that we... This comes off the top of our heads?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's one.
And that's the trick, though. That's the whole trick of comedy, is to make it sound like we were just coming off the top of our heads, like in conversational, but it takes years, man.
It does, yeah.
To get... a set, you know, a set really tight and polished, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Years of trial and error, bombing and...
Yeah, because like sometimes like there's been times where I'll do a set and I want to make it better and I want to make the set the best I can.
Mm.
And then I'll add things in and do like, oh, I'll put a tag here or segue to this joke and this how I'm going to go into it. And then I'll put all this effort and energy into it and then I'll perform it and it didn't go half as well as it did before I worked on it.
Okay.
And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I actually worked on it consciously to make it better and I made it worse. Yeah, it's like the effortless of what I said before, as in like all the, like it was a bit everywhere, but that's what made it funny.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I actually want to work on it and make it crisp, like and make it better, I make it worse.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I think a lot of...
It's a fine balance, though.
The way I look at it is like, all right, so sometimes I would over-rehearse my set. My set's very structured and I would over-rehearse it way too much. And how I feel is that what I'm doing is I'm just doing a monologue instead of a dialogue.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you and the crowd are communicating with each other.
Mm.
Like, they're not talking. Like,
no, but they're laughing.
But, yeah, so I'm telling a joke and they're, by laughing, they're communicating that they get what I say.
Yep.
And they think it's funny.
And they accept it.
So I'm kind of like talking to each other.
Yeah.
Kind of. And when I over-rehearse, it's just a monologue. It's just like I'm reading something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of like being performing, just trying to connect with... That's what I'm trying to do now. I feel like I do better when I connect with the crowd, you know what I mean? And just feel them out better, tell the joke in a rhythm that they get it. Sometimes people get it a bit quicker. Sometimes they get it a bit slower.
Yeah.
Some rooms, it takes a while, actually. Some rooms you tell a joke and like... 15 seconds later, and then they get it and they like start laughing. I'm like, Catch up, guys. What's going on?
You bunch of idiots. But you can't do that. You can't do that. You know?
Well, I don't know. Waka does that. He'll say, you know, your brain's going too slow.
Waka's great, eh? I love Waka, eh? He's the best.
He's awesome.
Waka. I love how he rips into the crowd for not getting his jokes.
I know. It's great.
It's genius, hey? Yeah. It's so good.
And it's, I found that the crowds actually accept it and they warm to him more. Yeah. Like, he gets away with it.
They pay attention more.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to feel stupid. So I have to listen to what he's saying and get it. Otherwise, I'm going to feel like an idiot.
And also, English being his second language and telling people to catch up makes you feel a lot more dumber than you actually are, you know what I mean? So like, I figured like he has a point when he says that. You know what I mean? Catch the hell up, you idiots.
It's so true. Hey, who actually inspired you guys to get into comedy, or what inspired you?
Eddie Murphy. I have watched and rewatched Delirious and Raw many times where it's still hilarious to me.
Yeah,
I can still watch it and just be like, laugh like it's the first time I've ever heard it. And to me, that's magic.
Yeah,
and I've never understood that as a kid. Like seeing it, like when I first seen it, I was like 10 or something. And like when I first seen it, I couldn't believe. I was like, I didn't know. I've seen this actor before. I didn't know that he did this.
Yeah.
And then I seen him. I was like, this is hilarious. And I didn't even know stand up was a thing.
Yeah.
He was actually the first ever stand up comedian I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then I never thought I could do it. I just thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I never really could see myself on stage until like some. I used to have Facebook videos like that I shared, like just me talking shit. And then like my boxing coach was like, hey, funny man, you ever thought about doing stand-up? I was like, I actually have, but I don't know like, where to start. And he goes, oh, well, I know a guy. And then he like introduced me to him, took me to my first open mic and tried it. And I was like, oh, this is actually fun. But I could never consciously see myself doing it.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? So it's just something that I just loved seeing, but I never could see myself doing it, and now I'm doing it.
Yeah, same thing, man. Like I could never... I never thought I could do it. Never ever. Mm. But I loved it.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
I loved it, but I never thought I could do it. Yeah. So when I did try it and a joke landed, I'm like, well,
this is dope.
Why would I ever stop? Why would I? Like, it's not like I'm an athlete or anything. You know what I mean? Like, you can write jokes until you're 70 years old. Why would you stop?
Yeah.
I enjoy the process of writing jokes as well.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like I would ever stop. I don't understand why I would. If there's a room that'll have me, I'll just go. You know what I mean? Like,
I
enjoy it. It's like the highlight of my week.
Yeah.
And for me, one of my favorite comedians that I regularly used to listen to before I started comedy was Dave Chappelle.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's a man.
Yeah, his humor is genius. And but actually, it was the thing that encouraged me to get into it was podcasts, because I used to listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
And I would listen to like comedians talk about how they would do this joke or try that joke or go to this room or how open mics were and stuff like that. And then I thought, well, maybe I should just try it. And then I gave it a go, and then it just stuck with me ever since. And
and it's something to look forward to, because like the life can get boring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's I watch so much anime, and it's just like, if I wasn't doing that, and if I wasn't doing stand up, I'd just be at home watching anime.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I won't be doing shit. No, but I'm not a fan of going out either. Yeah. But you know what I mean? So, like, I actually found something I can channel my energy into, and it's satisfying when you see progress.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
You know what I mean? And I actually generally feel for those people out there that don't have anything to channel into.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, that's where you get a lot of people, like, unfortunately, but like people like drug addicts, like all the type of stuff, they've got nothing to do.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, they have nothing to do. And a lot of people don't have anything to do or anything just to focus on as a hobby.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, this is a good avenue to
challenge. I think a lot of comedians are addicts, to be honest.
They're addicted to comedy?
Yeah, don't you think like a lot of comedians have got some kind of addiction? I think this is a healthy addiction, to be honest.
Oh, yes and no.
But you know when you are passionate about something,
yeah,
that manifests and ripples out of you and all around you. And yeah. I think that when you've got something you love so much, yeah, yeah, keep going with it.
Yeah, like, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Really,
yeah.
Really, I was thinking about with Steve Jobs, and he was saying like the only like you have to have passion because that's the thing that keeps you going, doing all those hours. And keeps you going when everyone else would just give up. You know what I mean? Mm.
Even when it's not working out.
Even when it's not working out, you just keep going because you're so passionate about it. I think you have to have that with comedy. Like I went to, like I said, I went to that class. Only like maybe two people, me and another guy are still doing it. Jared Duggan. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah.
Me and him are the only ones that are still doing it. So not everyone has that. But when you do have that, like it, what keeps you going, and you really do need it. Otherwise, you'll just give up straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like the thing is, like with comedy, like it's never. If you were just killing all the time, it would be boring.
Mm.
Comedy's never boring, man. Never boring, because one night you'll just have a great night and you'll be buzzing. Like, you'll be buzzing, and then like the next day you go to an open mic. And there's only the audience is one drunk heckler. And then, like, the highs and the lows is, like, it's always a challenge. Yeah. It always is. It's always, you can always get better. You can always get funnier.
Yeah, but, like, you always have to keep your feet grounded. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So if that makes sense. Like, after, if I do really well, I'll be like, man, I felt good. But then when I'm going home, I'm like, we could bomb tomorrow. So let's get our shit together, type thing. You know what I mean? Because like sometimes I don't even realize, but I'm going to the next gig like with a head, like yeah, I got this. Like as in because of the night before, like you know what I mean? Like I'm going to a gig with a head bigger than a hot air balloon, type of thing, because of the gig before.
Yeah.
And constantly keeping that like self reminder to be like, get your shit together. Let's focus on this set.
Yeah.
Let's have fun. But we could bomb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just like
being real.
Yeah. So it's just like it could happen. And sometimes I have consecutive good gigs. I'm just like, this bomb has to be tonight. I'm feeling it. And it's I'm hopping up the wrong thing. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? I'm anticipating the bomb when I should just be enjoying the set. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah.
And comedy is so subjective. But I guess, you know, coming back to that highs and lows of where we're sitting at as humans, that can impact us. But then sometimes if you're in an audience and they're just not on board with the type of comedy or your style of comedy, you're not going to win them. So you just have to accept that, you know, it's just personal taste as well.
Yeah.
So, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And don't go off at them.
Yeah.
So I've done that before. It doesn't work.
Oh, my God. You should see him at a gong show, hey.
Oh, really?
And someone's gonging him like, no, I'll gong you.
No, because I've seen all his plates go up and, like, I know that they went I didn't win them over.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't impressed by nothing I did or said. And sometimes as soon as you walk in a room, people just hate you. You know what I mean? So I need to understand that. But then I was doing my set and I felt like they weren't giving me a chance. But as a comedian, I need to suck it up. You know what I mean? They were being very closed off. I've seen a lot of folded arms. I'm like, this is unfair because the one before wasn't like that. This is some bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
But,
Bruno, I can see comedy has been a huge personal growth journey for you as well. You've even said, you know, you're keeping your feet grounded.
Yeah.
And just, like, because obviously you've got to fight against ego, don't you?
Oh, 100%. 100%. And it's a constant, it's a daily thing.
But well done. You're doing it.
No, thanks. I appreciate it. At least someone noticed, you know what I'm saying? So now I'm getting a big head again. I need to get grounded. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My feet back
down. Take your shoes off. It's okay.
It's a Japanese home, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh. Hey, describe a situation where things turned out for the best for you letting go of control.
Hmm.
Letting go of control. I think, we started this classy comedy, me, Tubbo and Bruno, and I feel like me letting go of the control of this, what's happening with the events that we're doing and delegating it to these guys and
behind the scenes, top.
Yeah, and because I can't do everything.
No,
that's
and,
a fact.
I can't do everything, and I need these guys. I really do need them, and I just have to trust them and let them run with it and let them... You also, because I'm growing as well, learning the business side of comedy. But these guys, let them have a chance to grow as well, learning how to market things and put ads on flyers and stuff. We haven't done any of this stuff before.
Mm. Yeah.
And, so we did that one show on Saturday.
Yeah.
We did the Kick-Ass Showcase. And that was our first show ever, and it sold out.
Yeah, well done, guys.
And
that was awesome.
It was amazing. And we've never done anything like that. And I'm like, freaking out because I'm worried about there's something that I've forgotten and everything. But if it wasn't for letting go of that control and having these guys, you know, because they're all part of it and having them support each other is what made it. You know what I mean? Like, if we didn't have all three of us all working together, then
it wouldn't be possible.
It'd be so hard to pull off, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So Tyrone, I can help you a little bit.
Yeah.
Just for mentally helping you.
Yeah.
Just get a checklist. And and then you can just, it's all written out, and you can just glance over and go, oh yeah. You know, everyone else has got this and
this.
It just helps because
we
run stuff. So well done, Pat, guys. Doing well.
Well, the thing with Tyrone, he has a checklist for the checklist, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
nothing
but
checklist.
That's a good room runner. well done.
It's actually, like, one thing that I'll say about Tyrone is that in comparison to people like me and Tabo are very similar in terms of how we, our approach to things.
Mm.
And I feel like Tyrone is the, like, organization type of thing that we all need.
Yeah.
Because organization for me is like a secondary thing.
Yeah.
And it's a primary thing for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like he complements a lot of what we lack. Because me and Tabu are very everywhere type of thing. And it was actually Tyrone's idea to actually make the Fringe show. At first, even like when we were at an open mic gig and we were outside talking, and then Tyrone just said randomly, and we thought it was just on a whim. He was like, hey man, like, oh, we should do a fringe show together. And me and Tyler were like, yeah, man, yeah, sounds dope. We're just liking the idea of it. Sounds awesome. And you're like, yeah, man, we should totally do it.
And then
Tyrone was actually serious. And me and Tyler were like, yeah, man, yeah, sounds right. And then he put us in a group chat, like, yeah, man, Fringe Show 2021. Me and Tyler were like, what the fuck, man? He's actually being serious.
Yeah, then I registered us. So.
Yeah, he registered. Oh, he fantastic. Goes, hey, man, I already called him, emailed him. It's all good. We're ready to rock. Me and Tyler were like, what the fuck? Like, he's actually doing it.
He meant
what he said.
Yeah.
And, so...
Are you good, Bruno, with if, say, Tyrone gave you an... they said, okay, I need this done. Are you good at going, yep, no worries, got it, and...
100%.
It? Yeah, so that's good. Yeah. You need... Yeah.
But see, our thing
is like
where...
you do complement each other then.
But see, I feel like him being the brains of, hey, guys, we need to get all this shit done... And then we're like, okay, we need to break it up.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about what we break up. And then we're like, you do this, blah, blah. What can you do? And okay, we can do that then. Like, him finding all this shit that we need to do is what I can't do.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what the hell we need to do.
That's great, but that's, you know, a good what I mean? Collaboration.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. So, like, Tyrone is actually the brains behind the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll try and bring everything to the group first before we do anything. And then we go through it together. And then we say, well... who can do this and who can do this, and then we'll just say, well, this person does this and this person does that.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then we try and get it done. But it's still a learning process. But I just want to tell you how it got started with the Fringe show.
Yeah.
Because, like, the Fringe is, because of the whole COVID thing and everything, and there was not going to be international acts, and I wasn't sure if there was going to be interstate acts. I thought this would be a good opportunity for local people to do an act. And also, I wanted to challenge myself to have a deadline and get 20 minutes of material that works.
Yeah.
So I wanted to challenge myself. And I think I'm pretty much there. And basically, Tabo and Bruno, I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
Massive fan of. They both make me... Bruno, he makes life every time I see him. Even though I've seen the joke before, it still makes me laugh.
Yeah, that's great.
And Tavos is great, man. He's doing it for a while. He is great.
Entertaining to watch, Tabo.
Yeah, Tabo is a headliner. He's great.
Mm.
And so I picked them because I'm fans. Yeah. I'm a fan of their work. And I'm like, why don't these guys put a show? Why don't they have a show? Like, I couldn't answer that. Why don't they have a show? Because I've seen their material. I mean, our material is adult material, but it's hilarious. You know what I mean? And I honestly think there is an audience for that. It's not clean, but there is an audience. Either, it's not full on filthy, but it's also real. It's real shit.
That's it pushes boundaries. If that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. So we talk about real shit, and I feel that these Tubba and Bruno should have a show.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I'm just like inserting myself. Sorry.
I don't know how to inject. He even did the dick in the vagina with the hand gestures. You know what I mean? Just to paint a picture for the audience.
I'm going to make a gesture without making it seedy. Hey, I'll try to insert myself into the mix.
Yeah.
And I'll grab these two that I know have a great act on stage and can consistently perform well. So for me, it was a no-brainer to get these two on board. Yep. And luckily, they like my style as well. And I've been obsessive about getting onto Fringe and putting on little shows in between. And it's the classy comedy started as just a thing that we needed to be a presenter for Fringe.
Yeah.
But now it's evolved into making video content, marketing, and stand-up events.
Just a fun thing to do.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So it's like it's in a nutshell, I feel like classic comedy is just a big umbrella of fun.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It sounds really cringe, and I just realised how cringe it sounds.
Yeah,
it's cringe. But it's fun as hell. You know what I mean?
Cringe runs with Fringe. Yeah, so, hey how do like people... what is the actual show called for Fringe then?
The Incorrect Stand-Up Comedy Show.
Okay, and is that live at now?
Yes, so you can buy tickets right now.
Excellent.
From the Fringe World website.
Yep.
And it's at the Cheeky Sparrow. And we've got 18 shows, so buy some tickets, please.
Fantastic, guys. That's really cool. Okay, and what about how can people find you guys on social media as well?
All I have to do is punch in Classy Comedy on Facebook. That's really what we have to do, and then you'll find us.
But then there's also Classy Comedy.
We're also on Instagram as well.
Yep.
And there's also classycomedy.net.
Yep.
Oh, so that's a website.
That's then, a website, yeah.
Tyrone's doing a shit job at everything else. But you can find Tyrone King on Instagram as...
Yeah, all my socials is terrible, but...
Just answer the question.
Yeah, you can... Tyrone King 2000 on Instagram. That's probably much the only one. Like, I've got my own personal Facebook page. You can add me as a friend if you want.
Right, well, Tyrone's starting to blab now. But mine is Bruno Entertainment 19 at... No, it's at Bruno Entertainment 19. Yeah, so that's what it is. That's me on Instagram and Facebook, Bruno Oliveira. Preferably, I don't just follow me on Instagram. That's where I do like most of my dumb videos, like all that shit.
Yeah.
And classcomedy.net.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's
and
us.
Can you guys share a joke for us?
Yeah, I'll shoot one. This is one of my jokes, actually. Okay. I have a cousin that recently came out of the closet, and then it hit me, like an epiphany. So that's what that joke was. It's the Incorrect stand-up show.
Are we gonna get cancelled?
I hope not. You can bleep that out if you like. I don't want to offend anybody. My cousin laughed at that joke, so
it
fuck you.
It was going so well. All right, I'll give you another one of my jokes that I wrote very early on doing stand-up. It was one of my very early jokes. And it's basically about I used to snore while I was sleeping. Used to snore a lot. And my girlfriend, she used to hate it. And snoring while sleeping is irritating, but not as irritating as snoring during sex. And snoring during sex is the sexual preference of Bill Cosby. So that's terrible.
Yeah, I'm shaking my head at the moment.
Yeah.
How is that better than mine? That's what I want to know.
It's terrible. Oh, it's incorrect. We're all incorrect.
That's the thing. Well, you got a preview on the content of what you will be seeing if you do come to
our content.
Show.
No, our content will be better. Yeah, than that.
It's actually, to be honest, that's probably one of the most in this day and age. Yeah. It's probably the most extreme joke that I have, to be honest.
That's all cool. So. Hey, what is the best thing about each other? Sorry, I normally say about you if you're happy to answer for yourself, but what's the best thing about Tyron and what's the best thing about Bruno? You guys
can in terms of personality or just as a person?
Yeah, as a person. What do you like best?
The best thing about Tyron is, well, I can talk about his act.
Yeah.
The best thing I like about Tyrone's act is the effortless segues that he does.
Yeah.
I feel like for me, I fumble, and Tyrone has a very smooth transition that I'm a big fan of. And it's something that he does in everyday talking.
Yeah.
And it goes a bit like this, and he does it all the time, and I love it. It's so basic, but I love it. Every time, even when I hear him in normal conversation, I'm just like, in my head, I'm just like smiling at him. But on the outside, I'm just like, I'm not actually smiling at him. Yeah. I'm still listening to what he's saying, but he always makes me smile.
Yeah, wow.
All right, Bruno. Bruno. Some of the best banter with Bruno.
Yeah.
Bruno's fun to hang around. That's it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. He likes to...
I like annoying him.
He loves annoying me.
Is he easy to annoy?
Bruno, yeah, very easy. Bruno angry is the most funniest thing ever. Bruno losing it makes me laugh so much.
I can't imagine you staying angry, Bar.
No, nah, he doesn't stay. He's good. He doesn't stay angry. Yeah.
But see, like that, the reason why he likes us so much is because he'll say the dumbest shit. And he knows that I think it's so dumb, and that's exactly what riles me up. Yeah. And the fact that, like, he'll say something dumb, and he'll just like stare at me, and just like,
I'll stare and wait. I'll wait for a reaction,
and I'm sitting there just looking at him like, "Don't do it." Yeah. And he's still looking at me, and I'm just like, I'm shaking my head, and then he just starts smiling, he starts grinning. I was like, "Look at this flipping weirdo."
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. All right, so thank you both for coming in and being a part of the show today.
Thanks
to all the listeners.
Really appreciate
you listening
in
to Bounce Back, and I'm Yvonne Fletcher, and from NY Events, and thank you, everyone.
Thank you for having us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anytime.